Testing. Testing the machine to see if it runs. This is Carl Williams speaking to Florence Williams from that faraway land in Canto, Vietnam, where the sun is always shining and the birds are always singing. And Sunday's always coming around. Sooner or later, the days pass, the nights pass, life is a steady flow of living, working, loving my wife, and dreaming of the day when I'll get to see her again soon. I hope that you have received sufficient information from your husband, like letters, news, and the latest word on what's going on. I know that tomorrow I'll receive from Ed Wasiniak a nice letter from my wife telling me all about the floods, telling me all of the action that's going on in the beautiful city of Manila by the bay, on Rojas Boulevard by the bay. How I wish I were there with you to be by the bay in Rojas Boulevard, to dream on the vianda and look out over the sea and see the beautiful sunsets. Live forever in a land of peace and happiness, joy and contentment, and love. Hello, baby. How are you? I'm sure hoping you're good, because I feel like $1 million, like a young racehorse, just at the barrier, ready to go someplace. You can probably tell by the way I feel that I've lost a lot of weight. I'm down, must be down now, pretty close to 200 or 198. I weighed with my clothes on the other day and I was 205. So give myself 7 pounds of clothes. So I'm down to under 200 maybe. I'm hoping so. I just played the background music almost drowned me out there, honey. So I had to stop and take the music off so that you can hear my dulcet tones without any interference and any static from outside. Well, let's see. I guess I've got to tell you about this week's activities, which isn't too much. But I've been busy as a little bee. You know, I took over Tom Jefferson's job when he went on leave. He was supposed to go on emergency leave, and he cut me out of going on leave on the 15th. So I had to take his job, and now I got to wait till he comes back before I can go on leave. I don't know when it'll be. Maybe it'll be the 20th of this month, or maybe it'll be the first of next month. But we'll find out as soon as probably next week sometime, and I'll be able to tell you for sure just when I can get away. But this week has been pretty steady. This job keeps me going because I have to get out early in the morning. I leave here about 7:15, and I come home about 6:45 at night. I have a work crew. We're working 9 hours a day, and I usually have to go to them, to there, to see that they get on the job, and usually stay until they knock off at 6:30. I really don't have to do this, but I found out that these people don't work too good unless I'm around there to kind of push people along, and God, it's slow anyway. But the job we're doing is building that big metal building down at the Canto airfield as you go in the base, and you saw a part of it constructed when you were here. There was a big cement pad, and part of the building was partially finished. Now, The building has been completed and they're putting in lights and putting fence around it, putting in air conditioners, and they're trying to move in there starting next weekend, perhaps. We have to get electricity in there from someplace. I don't know where it's coming from. They're trying to get it from across the street, the PA&E, but they haven't got the Army approval yet. So I don't know what's going to happen in the long run. I suspect the Army wants to get a inter-service agreement signed, and Mr. Christian won't sign it because we don't have any money. So we're trying to get the Army to get the PA&E people to give us that electricity free with no charge, which would be a wonderful thing if it can happen. However, well, I have a work crew down there of there must be about 50 men. We've got electricians and carpenters and painters and masons and welders and all kinds of people doing everything. Electricians putting in the lights and people laying tile on the floor. And it's, you'd think I was a big engineer constructor. I'm glad that somebody had it all organized and laid out, because I haven't the slightest idea of how the layout building plans and how to do those things. But I know how to push people, and I see what's to be done, and I try to get the bosses and the supervisors to get their people going. So I guess I'm going along all right. At least I'm not, I've got something steady to do, and I'm not floating back and forth and out of the provinces. Time is going by like a whirlwind, and I've really been busy. These Vietnamese are so chintzy, so small in their ideas. It's kind of interesting to work with them, and they give a boss, one guy's a boss, and boy, he's jealous of that job. And the real hard workers are the guys that are kind of foreman and know what they're doing. And they say I've got one or two people who are foreman over work crews, and they work like the devil, and foreman over the masons, and they work hard. And this is where all the work comes through. Then I got about six Koreans down there, and boy, they work pretty good. They're real good workers, and most of them are bosses, and they know what they're doing in their area. I got a real number one welder and a Korean, and one of them's a kind of a civil engineer boss. And Mr. Ruiz, who was with me up in Quan Nai, is down here. He's a Filipino that's got kind of a civil engineering degree of some kind, and he seems to be doing real good and knows how to draw up the plans. And but the Vietnamese resent Filipinos, and so we have a lot of conflict going on there. However, things are moving along pretty good. Good enough that I'm satisfied that the work is going to be fairly well completed. Not on time, because it should have been done a week ago. Should have been finished a week ago. But see, the whole catch is we've never had approval. We don't have the money. They've told us they'd give us 12 million piastres, but they're not giving us anything yet. There's nothing in writing. It's only say-so. So they've gone ahead and built on the 12 million piastres that they don't have. And it's rather interesting. A lot of people are really upset about it. But we'll be moving in there inside of another week, and the whole thing is that the GSO where we now live, is the lease is up on that, and the landlord wants it back. So that's the situation in my job. I hope that You enjoyed the letters I sent with Ed Wasiniak. He's gone a week next Tuesday, so that one you'd have time to read through it. I'd just sit down and just kind of scribbled away, as I told you, wrote a long one. Then the next day, I wrote one to tell you about Rudy Kaiser and the memorial we had. And then, let's see if I've got, I got a letter from you this week. It came, let me see. Hold on a minute. Oh, yeah, here. I got, you gave two letters to Steve, one and two. Then you wrote a letter on July the 20th. And it's, the postmark is July the 23rd. Well, I got that this week, sometime in the mail. But before I got, that's number three. Before I got three, I received four and five from, one was Hank Carey and one is Mr. Boers. So the one you wrote on the 20th got here this last week, which is, this is the 6th, so it came in sometime during the week. Now you sent one by Boers, and you sent one right July the 23rd. You sent one, and you sent another one with a letter from Elvira, a picture of Dad and Elvira, the 25th. So, but the one you wrote on the 20th, and, well, I guess you took a couple of days writing it, but I just got it through the mail, so I guess hand carries a little faster if you got somebody coming back. It's faster than the old APO and the government mule system. Well, I don't know how to get letters to you except to the mail, and I suspect this one will go out the 7th and get to you on the 17th, which is 10 days later. Boy, that's a long time, and I'm sorry. But anyway, I just want you to know that I'm really thinking about you all the time, and we're hoping that things break out so I can get back there on leave pretty soon. And I hope that you keep your feet dry. And I wrote a letter to Pamela and Al the other day, asking them to get me write me a letter about they never did answer the letter I wrote asking them to, and if my film had come there from Kodak. So I wrote them the other day and asked them to hurry, please send me a letter, because I'm trying to get the Kodak people to give my money back of the $45 since I lost the film. I had to pay for them cockeyed pictures, and now I don't get them. That really is an exasperating thing. I wonder what happened to them. Somebody got those pictures over in Kinwa, and they probably looked at them and liked them, and so they kept them all. But maybe not. Maybe they got them over in 3105 Moorhead. You know, something happened, honey. The other day I was writing that letter, and I forgot the address. I've been away too long. I forgot the address at home, so it's maybe too long. Anyway, this month, in one more week, I will have been in this outfit 5 years, and that's a long time. And been away from home since 69, and that's a long time. So maybe we better go home in 73. That'll leave us outside Oh, I keep forgetting that I went home for Christmas. By golly, that trip home must have been really a doozy, because it slips my mind entirely. I don't even remember, except the sickness up at Helen's and the visit up to the girls, seeing my sisters, and San Francisco, Grass Valley, Sonoma, and wherever Phyllis lives, I don't know. But that seems to be about the only thing I can remember. I can't even remember being home. Isn't that strange? I guess we stayed with Dad all the time, and there's nothing at all that sticks in my mind. Do you remember being home this last Christmas? Well, I guess it'd be pleasant to go back home, but I have a new dream that came in the other day. I see where the United States government had made a deal with Micronesia. Micronesia is the island south of Guam. It covers all the South Pacific between Guam and Australia. It goes clear down to way down all those islands. They made an agreement with Micronesia to, as a kind of a trade agreement between the United States and this country. Now, this means that the United States will give them many benefits and aids, and maybe old Carly can get a job down in Balikpapan or someplace down there, and we can then go down and have a little life among the South Sea Islanders and enjoy life to the fullest. Won't that be nice? I bet you'd like that better than going to Australia. Living on those islands, Aniwetok, Tarawa, let's see, there's two of them. There's about four or five islands down there that the South Pacific, where they had atomic tests and they had the bombs and they had World War II all through that area. I'll bet you'd enjoy that without any problems. Well, today being Sunday, I went to church. I got up early this morning and I went down and got the crew off to work at 7:30, and then I went down on the job and stuck around till about 9 o'clock. Then I came back and changed my clothes and put on my tennis shorts underneath my trousers. Went over and went to church at 10 o'clock, and 11 o'clock I went down to the tennis court and played with a guy named Dennis, a tall kid who lives around here someplace. And I played two sets. Boy, I'm sure skinny. I mean, than what I was, because I wore some tennis shorts that I had a hard time getting into. By golly, I could hardly keep them up on my hips. I don't know what in the world, why they're so big. They just kept falling down. And I moved around a lot better, and I felt good, and I played real steady, and I didn't have any blackouts, and I didn't have any tired feeling. And I run hard a couple times, and I lost my breath a little bit, but I was still in there chucking, and I had a good workout. I came home at noon, and I got myself a little rest, and I showered and had myself some cereal, and I found some milk, non-fattened milk down at the PX, down at the commissary, and I bought myself a lot of cereals to eat, and boy, things seem to be shaping up. I'm finding some things now that I can eat that non-fattening. So I had all this business, and I feel real good about it. And I then I a little later, let's see, I had that to eat about 1 o'clock. So I started to go to the field again at 2 and a little after, and I turned on the television, and guess what? There was a golf game on. Holy smoke, the golf game that Palmer played, and Lee Trevino beat him over in Scotland. So I sat there and watched that, and then I went out and got me a can of turkey, bone turkey, small can like a tuna can, and I drained all the juice off of it, and I put the in a dish and mixed up a cracker in it, and I sat there and eat that nice lean turkey and watched the golf game and for a little while. Then I went back on the job, and I came back about 4:30 and decided that I've got to write to my wife right away, because I just got to get something in the mail right quickly. So I turned on the TV, and there was a baseball game on. So then I watched baseball for a little while, and I got real hungry. Now, I haven't been eating much, you know. I've been on this high protein. I eat 2 eggs at noon and some spinach, and I eat chicken or fish or steak at night and a salad. And that's all I eat. And I haven't had anything to drink since you left. In fact, Thursday before you left. And so while I was at commissary yesterday, I saw some Canadian bacon. I said, I'm going to buy me some Canadian bacon, which I did. So tonight, the maid's gone all day, so it's on Sunday. So tonight I went over to the stove, and I broke out the skillet, and I put me in some nice lean Canadian bacon, and I had 3 fried eggs and Canadian bacon. And the eggs were fried, dry fried, I guess you'd call it, because they stuck to the pan and they come out like scrambled, but there wasn't any grease in it, too much. I had to put 1 little slice of bacon in there to get the pan so it wouldn't burn everything. However, I did have this eggs and Canadian bacon and dry toast, just, you know, without any butter or jelly or anything. Had me a cup of coffee, and I feel like real good. I feel happy now. My belly's full. I feel contented, and I just wish you was here that I could put my arms around you and hold you pretty tight so that you could feel the same comfort that I feel. I hope that everything is going good. I hope that Mary gets back or is back. I hope that nothing serious happened. I imagine by now that Helen's getting anxious to come home and see her husband and see you gals. I'm sure that she misses you. I don't know whether she missed those rains. She probably feel better by being away. And did it, by the way, did the rains flood the area over there where we used to live in those apartment houses and in that? Gee, if it flooded that whole street and area, that would have been something real serious. Wash out all them big complex of buildings and keep them all wet. Kind of low there in some places. I guess, did you get around to take a look at the town, see what was happening, see where the trouble was? I showed the pictures you sent to the Filipinos here. They said that, boy, they were worried. In fact, one of them, Macalino, who is our air conditioning man down where I work, just got back about a week ago, and he said he had a hard time getting back. He said that we have, you remember Tony down at Air America? He's never come back yet. He was supposed to have been back in 2 weeks, and he said that perhaps in his hometown he couldn't get out, and maybe he had trouble down there, lost some of his family or something like that. So I hope that Tony didn't run into trouble. They sure need him here, but maybe he run into trouble. Maybe everything got filed up and they couldn't get the paperwork. He was supposed to be signed up by Air America, and he lost his USAID job, as did many other Filipinos who were here. I'm sure that you're filled up to your neck with the rain. I told Pam and Al that you had bought some water wings and were learning how to swim, that it's going to be part of your equipment from now on, because you were in water all the time, that your main street was flooded. Maybe you probably sent Ruby some pictures or some information on the rains, and she might have talked to all of them about it. I'm very happy that you like the new apartment on the 7th floor, and I'm sure that I will too. You've got lots of sights to see, you say, and that's really pleasant. Wouldn't worry too much about the poor people there, the squatters. These are things all over the world by the millions, and even in America it's the same way. To our standards, they're very poor and unhappy. Sometimes they're not so unhappy as we think, but it is a situation in every society, and I see it around here considerable, although these people seem to take care of themselves pretty good. There are a lot of people that don't have anything, and it's very difficult for them to make out, to keep themselves, their pride and their dignity that every human being should have. Well, these folks that you're looking at down through your window have a certain amount of dignity. They structure themselves in their own societies, and there are leaders, and there are all types of people at different times, different kinds, but it belongs to the governments, and there ain't much we can do about them but sympathize with them. Probably the worst thing I found out here, you try and do something, you do it individually, and you upset certain things that we don't know about in their social work, the social group, that might be detrimental to them in the long run. Particularly, I don't know whether these people like us anymore or not. I'm really, I shouldn't get too involved, and I don't too much, but I've just seen these people on these jobs. I don't know. They're so sure of themselves, they think that they are the only ones. They're sort of arrogant and proud and so forth. That's all right with me, but it makes it difficult to work with them sometimes. The idea of them stealing food off of trucks and people making money off of hard-to-get items, selling them and so forth, and those are all true. It happens all the time. Some places, if they don't have a good police system, it happens more often than not. I saw Howard Jordan the other day. He came down to the memorial for Mr. Kaiser, and He's going to be the GSO up in Nha Trang. And I said, hey, how about getting me a job up there? And he said, by golly, he said, I'd like to have you work for me. He said, why don't you come up and see us? I said, well, I might do that if I thought you'd be something stirring up there. And he said, you never can tell what happens, what might happen. He'd like to have me, but I don't know whether he has the power now that he used to when he was Mr. Van's fair-haired boy. Mr. Van isn't there anymore. But there's an idea, maybe I could go up to Nha Trang and work, and that's a pretty nice area. Probably I could get the job that old Al Griffith is leaving. He was the transportation officer up there. But these guys like me are all temporary reservists, as we used to be called. They used to be called in the regular Navy, and we don't have much tenure. However, this tape's getting short, and I'm going to quit talking about myself and talk about you a little while, at least a month, to tell you how much that I miss you and how much I wish I had you here with me so that we could see things and do things together or just be here if my work kept me here. And I miss you more every day, and I really find out now in these absences how much I really care and how much I love you and how much I think about our life together and how valuable you've been to me in all of the living that we've done together and apart. And as we get a little older, it's more important to me now that you're with me and that you're my helpmate, because I certainly do love and miss you, and I look forward with anticipation and joy to the years we've got together in the future. And I pray to God every morning at 7:30 that you'll be praying too, and I get with you that way. We use the old ESP.